right, folks. Praise the Lord. Let's, for our final hymn tonight, let's open up to hymn 12. Hymn 12.
Final.
And, and let's stand for a sweet hour prayer. I love this, old hymn of the faith. Sweet hour prayer. Yes, indeed. We've been moving right along tonight. And we're going to sing the all three.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from the world of care, that bids me at my Father's throne, makes all my wants and wishes known, then saves us of distress and grief. My soul is often found relief, and oft escapes the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that wings shall my petition bear to him whose throne and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless, and since it bids me seek his face, amen, believe his word and trust his grace, I cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, lay I thy consolation share, till from Mount Peter's lofty height I build my home and take my flight. Amen! This robe of bliss shall drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize, and shout while piercing through the air. Farewell, farewell, sweet hour.
Praise the Lord, beloved. Please be seated, and let us continue as we grab our Bibles tonight. Let us continue to pray for good health for the church congregation. You notice we've got quite a few missing persons tonight. We just pray for the Lord to bless them and heal them where healing is needed. Amen. All right, and thank you for your faithfulness. Those of you who are able to be here tonight, what a blessing to see you on a Wednesday night midweek service. I love our Wednesday services, but you know, it's so wonderful to come together with God's people in the middle of the week and just to worship Him and to hear from Him. Amen? To study His Word together. Let's open up to the book of Jude once again. Go to Jude, chapter of your choice. And we will cover two more verses tonight, lest we get raptured before we finish. Jude, tonight we come to verse 12. Glory to God. We've been moving right along in the book. in verse 12. And don't forget, just a couple of announcements. Next Wednesday night, we'll be having our special designated prayer meeting for the ISIS crisis, these terrorists with the hostages. And we're expecting visitors and guests to come next Wednesday night. We won't be studying the book of Jude because the Lord's laying a special message on prayer on my heart for next Wednesday night. We're going to sing, we're going to preach on prayer, and we're going to go right to our knees and we're going to seek the Lord's face. Amen? So, very important. Tell somebody, invite somebody to come next Wednesday night. And then on the 28th, Louise Warner, missionary to the Philippines, will be with us. That's the 28th of this month. Both services, she'll be here all day. Praise the Lord. And it looks like Val has got us an updated directory. That's great. We need that. As we grow, we get more names to add to the directory. That's a good problem to have. Amen? Jude, verse 12 tonight. And as he continues his discourse on the false teachers, those who had infiltrated the church, those who had snuck in, and what I'd like to term them as false professors. They profess the name of Christ. They profess to be Christians, but they're really not. And they've got other ulterior motives for being in church. And look with me here in Jude, in verse number 12, we read, "These," and there's that word again, "these are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." Father in heaven, how we thank you for these verses tonight. And Lord, as horrifying as these verses are, yet there are so many in the earth today that fit this description. Lord, we're living in the last days of the last days. We thank you that Jesus Christ is coming soon and very soon for us. We'll be raptured out of this sin-sick world of darkness. So shall we ever be with our Lord. Glory to God. We're so thankful tonight that we're children, sons and daughters of the King, that we've entered into holy covenant with Thee, that heaven is our home indeed. Jesus is our Savior. The Holy Spirit is our guide. We love you tonight, Lord, and we thank you for your word. And help us to learn from these verses tonight to warn the wicked before it's too late. And, oh Lord, we just ask your blessing, Holy Spirit, upon your preached word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, beloved, what's the first word of verse 12? These. You see that? These. Seven times he would digress, give some examples from the Old Testament, and then come back, but these, and these, and here, these. Now, in verse 11, the apostle Jude describes them as followers of Cain. And in verse 12 and 13 tonight, he reveals their atheistical character. In fact, these false professors are in practice reprobate, that is, void of judgment, meaning that they do not believe that God will one day judge them for their evil deeds. But he will. Look at verse 15. To execute what?
Judgment
upon all. See, that word reprobate, you find that in the Bible a few times. That word means a person who does not believe in the judgment to come. They do not believe that their Creator will call them to account one day for what they've done in this life. But he will. According to verse 15, all will be judged. Now, so like Cain, they hate the righteous. And like Balaam, they are full of covetousness and greed. And like Korah, they are rebellious against God's authority and against any human authority that would seek to steer them in a right direction. They rebel against the preached word of God. And in these two verses tonight, beloved, Jude will lay 13 charges against them. First of all, he describes them in verse 12 as spots. Look at it, verse 12. These are spots in your feasts of charity. Now, how many of you ladies have accidentally spilled something on your dress. Oh yeah, y'all have. And you know, when that happens, you got a spot there, and you're trying to lick your napkin, you're trying to get that spot off, aren't you? Because it doesn't look good, and it doesn't belong there. That's how he describes these false teachers. Spots, the Greek word is spilus. It literally means, or spilus. It literally means a rock. Listen to this. The Greek meaning of this word, a rock in the sea, or ledge, or reef. A metaphor for men who by their conduct damage others morally, wrecking them like a shipwreck. Did you hear that? This word, spots, means it's like a rock sticking up just below the surface of the sea. And when your ship hits that rock, boom, it launches a big hole and you sinks your ship. That's how they want to sink your ship, right? Now, go with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. We won't be long tonight, but some incredible things are spoken about these reprobates. In 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 13. Speaking of them, same group, and they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Look at that next word.
Spots
they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Notice, they are self-deceived, and they seek to deceive others because of their deception. Secondly, tonight, in the book of Jude, verse 12, observe their infiltration of the body. Look at verse 12 again. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you. They feast with you. Now, Sunday night was one. Oh, that was such a blessing. Amen? We had a time. Tiffany McDonald, missionary to Thailand, was with us. And we had a good crowd. And we had a feast. We had a feast of charity after service Sunday night. And oh, what a time we had of cutting up and fellowshipping. And it's fun to be a Christian. But first of all, notice the words feasts of charity in verse 12. That's talking about a Christian fellowship dinner. And it's a feast of charity. That word charity, it's love demonstrated. Love demonstrated. I'm so glad we've got that here in this church. Amen? But folks, some people, my wife laughs, but you know, we pastored a church in Colorado and then pastored one in Maine, one in Canada. And there'll be some folks, they'd only come to church when we're going to have a feast after church. You know? And I'd say to him, I bet you guess who so-and-so would show up for the food. Now, folks, you know, it sounds funny, but it's not. Some people that, you know, like, that's talking about these guys. They're coming to the Feast of Charity to stuff their face. They're not coming for the fellowship. They're not coming to hear the Word of God. They've got ulterior motives. Now, that's talking about a Christian fellowship dinner of love, based upon the love of Christ that we have one for another. But secondly, in considering this infiltration, notice the words, verse 12, they feast with you. They feast with you. Now, notice here how Jude makes a distinction between them and you. They feast with you, indicating that they are not of you, even though they're with you. Some people, you know, you'll have people in church that they're with you, but they're not with you. Yeah, Luke's shaking his head. He knows some. Because they're not with you spiritually. They have one guy we had come to our church in Colorado, and he was an insurance agent. He just wanted to sell insurance to the people, you know? I mean, man, you don't come to church to sell something, you know? But let's keep moving here. Now, go with me to Proverbs 23. And hold your place in Jude. Proverbs chapter 23. Here's a powerful passage concerning this same crowd. And why they do what they do. They're not in church for God. Put it that way. In chapter 23 of Proverbs, look with me. Verse 1. When thou sittest to eat, there's a feast with a ruler. Consider diligently what is before thee. And put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Saying, don't gluttonize, you know. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And this is some people, they come to church, they want to get rich. You know, you've heard the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Send me your $1,000 seed money and the Lord will bless you. Hey, Bud, why don't you send me $1,000 seed and Lord bless you? You think maybe somebody's making something up there? Verse 6, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. See that? He's talking about these same people. He's eating with you, but his heart is not with you. Look, he wants something from you. Verse 8, the morsel which thou hast eaten up, shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. Sorry, lady, nasty verse. Said it'll make you sick, some of these people. See that? Because they're not right with God. They're not saved. Thirdly, tonight in Jude, notice what they do in your feasts. Verse 12. Verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. What's that mean? Feeding themselves without fear. Now, observe here that these false professors lack the fear of God. Look what it says there in verse 12. Without fear. They don't fear God. And that's why they do what they do. That's why they live the way they live. That's the way, why they talk the way they talk. They don't fear God. There's no fear of God before their eyes. That's a dangerous way to be, by the way. They are a gluttonous, wine-bibbers, and mind only the gratification of their flesh without fear of God. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Hold your place in Jude. Philippians. Here's a frightening verse concerning them. In Philippians chapter number 3, look with me at verse 17. Paul says, brethren, say people, be followers together of me. Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Amen. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation, our lifestyle, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, watch out, because there are many who are the enemies of Jesus Christ, and they may even infiltrate your congregation. It doesn't mean they're true believers, okay? Now, that's what they do, feasting with you without fear, no fear of God. Fourthly tonight, see their description. Look at verse number 12. Notice their description. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water. Clouds without water. Now, that's like a big cloud that promises rain in a time of drought, but cannot deliver a single drop because it has no water within. It's empty within. It's not what it appears to be, a rain cloud. They have not, listen, they have not the living water of God's Holy Spirit that Jesus gives. Notice that? That water in the Bible is a picture, a type of the Holy Spirit. They have, look at it, without water, without water. They have not the Holy Spirit of God. They are boasters without any substance. Look with me in 2 Peter chapter 2. Hold your place again. 2 Peter chapter 2. Clouds without water. Look at verse 17. These are wells without water. You know, it's a hot day and you're almost dehydrated. You're really, really thirsty. And you finally make it to the well and you draw the bucket up and it's empty. Not a drop of water. It's a dried up well. It can't satisfy your thirst. And that's how these are. Wells without water. Clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Scary, scary verse, but it's true. It describes them. Fifthly, in Jude, notice their lack of spiritual discernment. Here's an important one, folks. Verse 12, they have a lack of spiritual discernment. Verse 12, these are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Carried about of winds. Now, whichever way the wind blows, that's the way you find it. You know, they give it this number. Stick their finger up in the air, wet their finger and stick it up in the air. Which way is the wind blowing? That's the way I'm going to be today. No, no. Sometimes we need to go against the wind, right? We need to go against the current and flow of this evil world because we're Christians. We have the Spirit of God. Now, they're not grounded in sound doctrine. One week they believe JW doctrine, one week they follow the Mormon theology, next week they're British Israelites. They're not grounded. They're carried about with winds. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Hold your place in Jude. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at this. Verse 14. That we, saved people, henceforth, from now on, be no more children. That's spiritually immature. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of what?
Doctrine.
Doctrine. Winds in the Bible are picturing teachings, doctrines. And he says, you don't need to be carried about with all different teachings, all different doctrines. You need to be grounded in the faith of the Son of God. Amen? By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Mm-hmm. They're deceitful doctrines. Doctrines of devils, in fact. Verse 15, but here's what you do need to do. Speaking the truth in love. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Go to Hebrews. Just thought of another verse before we move on. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. These winds are spoken of over and over in the Bible. God doesn't want you blown with the wind like a leaf that has no root, no grounding. Chapter 13 of Hebrews. Look at verse 9. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. Notice, carried about, tossed to and fro, blown by the wind. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Saying, never mind about the flesh. He says, mind more about your spirit and be grounded. Don't be carried about with strange doctrines, winds of doctrines that are evil. All right, something else back in Jude. Sixthly, notice and observe their rotted fruit. Verse 12, these are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are, without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth. Whose fruit withereth. Now, Jude depicts them here like a tree that bears fruit that is rotten, unedible, and even poisonous. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Hold your place in Jude. Jesus described them with the rotten fruit. Look at it. In Matthew chapter number 7, look at verse 17. Matthew chapter 7, verse 17. Even so, Jesus says, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Right? You need the Holy Spirit to bring forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. That's rotten fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. A corrupt tree, an evil tree, cannot bring forth. A lost man cannot bring forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit because he doesn't possess him. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit. So his fruit is rotten in God's sight. This is what the Bible says. Now, something else. Seventh, notice their barrenness. Back to Jude, verse 12. Notice their barrenness. He says, these are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit. Without fruit. He's pointing to barrenness. He's pointing to a soul who bears no life, no living fruit. Now listen, Jude says here that they bear not little fruit, not rotten fruit, no fruit. See it? No fruit of the Holy Spirit, because a dead tree cannot bear any fruit. It's dead. I guarantee you won't find any apples on that dead apple tree. It's not going to happen. Val is a gardener. She knows what I'm talking about. If it's dead, it's not going to bear fruit. Look at verse 19 of Jude. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Anyone who has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He has no life until he repents and gets saved. Matthew chapter 7 again. Hold your place in Jude. Matthew chapter 7 once more. A verse we didn't read concerning their fruit. Look at this. Matthew chapter 7. Drop down with me to verse 20. Verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the what?
Fire.
Fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, Jesus is not saying here in verse 20 that you're going to know a lost man by the fruit he bears. They can't bear fruit. He's saying because there is no fruit, you'll know they're without spiritual life. That's what he's saying. You shall, by their fruits ye shall know them. The them in verse 20 is a saved man. You can tell a saved man because he's bringing forth fruit of the Holy Spirit. A lost man cannot do that. Let's move on. Eighthly tonight, notice their twofold death. They have a twofold death. Verse 12, these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead. Twice dead. Now, first of all, they're dead spiritually. You realize that. They don't have the Holy Spirit, so they're dead spiritually. Secondly, they die physically. They die physically. Thirdly, they'll suffer the second death. There's three deaths to an unbeliever. All right? Someone said, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. But that's not really accurate because a Christian doesn't die. There's no death record. If you have eternal life, how can you die? Yes, that's right, Lucas. The flesh can be buried 6 feet under. Amen. But you're not dead. You're alive with Jesus Christ in heaven. You see it? All right, praise the Lord. Ninthly tonight, observe their coming doom. Verse 12, their coming doom. It says, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Whoa. Plucked up by the roots. Now, notice their coming destruction. Just exactly as they chop down dead trees and burn them in the fire, even so, these imposters will one day be extracted from the earth by death and condemned to an eternal lake of fire. Go to Psalm 1. Hold your place in Jude. Psalm 1. Plucked up by the roots. What a horrifying verse. It's sad because it doesn't have to be that way. They can get saved like you did and have eternal life. Amen. And be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ like you are. Look at it. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, the Word. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what?
Perish.
Perish. You know, folks, as I read Psalm 1, I'm seeing so many points the Holy Spirit has given in Jude, verses 12 and 13. It's like, wow, this is incredible. All right, back to our text in Jude. Tenthly, quickly, notice their rage. Verse 13. What's that first word?
Raging.
Raging. Raging waves of the sea. Now, like the tumultuous stormy sea, they are turbulent, troubled, noisy, boisterous, clamorous, and raging. They got road rage all the time. Those waves will sink your ship if they can get away with it. You know that? They're dangerous. Why? Because they're like raging waves of the sea that want to smash and beat against your ship. They want to take you down. They want to sink you. Isaiah chapter 57. Quickly. Isaiah chapter 57. Raging waves of the sea. The Holy Spirit has graphic description concerning these false professors and false teachers. In Isaiah chapter 57, look with me at verse 20. Don't miss this. Verse 20. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Wow. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Like raging waves of the sea, casting up what? Mire and dirt. That's what they produce. Now, let's move on. 11th tonight, number 11. Notice what they produce. Verse 13. What do they produce? raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Foaming out their own shame. You know what they produce? They produce shame. Shame and reproach. Now, think with me, church. The continuous action and motion of raging waves of the ocean will always result in sea foam. Have you seen sea foam? You know, sometimes the wind will blow it and it looks like snow blowing around. Sea foam. It's created by waves that crash against each other and the salt water. It creates a foam. It's called sea foam. This foam that the waves produce can be easily seen by the passers-by. And so too, may the shameful results of false professors and deceivers be clearly seen by those who observe. Revelation chapter 3. Flip over one page, you'll be there. Revelation chapter 3. Look at verse 18. Jesus says, words in red, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the what?
Shame
of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve that thou mayest see. He's talking to the lost persons in the church, saying, you need to come to me for eternal life quick before it's too late. Otherwise, the shame of your nakedness, they're not clothed with the righteousness of God. They're naked before God. Only their sin, their shame is showing. And he says, I got something can cover that if you'll come to me. Amen? If you'll come to me. 12 tonight. Observe their continual wandering. Verse 13. They continually wander, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars. Wandering stars. What's that mean? Listen carefully. If you observe the stars at night, you will notice that they're not stationary. They're in a constant state of motion. If you look up and you pinpoint one star in the sky, if you wait 5 minutes and look again, it won't be there. It'll be moved a few feet. Why? They're wandering. Everything in the universe is moving, you know. We are moving. We are moving at a high rate of speed, revolving around the sun. Now, that's how these false teachers operate. They're erratic in their motions. They keep not that steady course of God's will, but constantly shift stations from place to place. They're always chameleon, changing colors like the stars. Those stars also, you see them, they change colors, don't they? 13th, finally tonight, notice their final abode. Verse 13, what is their final abode? Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Whoa! Clearly here, beloved. False teachers and false professors may only expect the worst of punishments in the future world. Why? Indeed, though these impostors may prosper for a time, yet their doom is sure and inevitable and irrevocable. It's unchangeable. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Their doom is sure unless they repent and get born again. In 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 3. And through covetousness, they want what you've got. They shall with feigned words, that's fake, make merchandise of you. They want to gain something from you. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Peter says their damnation is coming. Their judgment is coming. Look at verse 17. Look with me at verse 17. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved, there's that word again, they got a reservation, reserved forever. Wow. Their final abode is a frightening one, folks. I don't wish it upon anybody. Not even your worst enemy, except the devil. The devil, we know the devil will be there. But I don't wish that upon any human being. But multitudes will end up there for rejecting the Son of God. How horrifying is that? 2 Thessalonians, let's finish up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. When Jesus Christ comes back the second time, which is very soon, he's not coming to die on a cross. He's coming to pour out the wrath of God upon the wicked. Look at it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be what?
Punished.
Punished for 5 years. No. With everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. He says he's coming back to render punishment and everlasting destruction. It never stops. Their torment never ceases, folks. I wish it wasn't so, but that's what the Bible says. How sad that though the arm of salvation is extended to them, yet they choose to deny the truth of Jesus Christ. They choose to live their lives as a facade, a show, a false profession. Back to Jude. Let's finish up. Jude, verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for verses 12 and 13. As horrific as they are, it is the truth, Lord. It is the truth because you said it in your word. And Lord, I thank you that it is still called today. It is still the age of grace. It is still the church age where folks can get saved by simply calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of sin, and coming to his precious shed blood for the cleansing of sin. Lord, I thank you that the light is still shining, that this dispensation is still active, that folks can still be born again by simply crying out to Jesus. But Lord, the night cometh when no man worketh. The night cometh when tribulation shall hit this earth like never before. The night cometh when the wrath of God shall be poured out upon planet earth. Lord, we pray that in these last days of the last days, many souls will come to know Jesus Christ before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. 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 Folks, let's grab our hymnals tonight for our final hymn. And let's open up to 331. We'll finish up with 331. We'll stand. And we'll sing all three. One thing we can be certain of, though the false teachers abound, the Lord is faithful. Amen? He'll never leave us nor forsake us, folks. We have the Spirit of truth. Glory to God for that. 331. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, yes, it is. Exceeding great.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions live not. As thou hast been, and forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, the morning. sun, moon, and stars in their courses above.
Church, tonight we serve a faithful God. What a blessing it is. Brother Lucas, dismiss us in prayer.
Thank you, Father, for letting us be out here. I'm going to pray that you'll please bring us back out here next week and help us remember what this message is about so that way we can determine who's really into it and who's really not in the game.
Amen. Praise the Lord, people.